You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, everybody? It's Monday, and it is Academy Awards after the Academy Awards, but it's going to be a knockout episode of Rumor Innuendo because I'm here with Robert Karpeles, the Academy Award winner for Best Co-host. Robert, how are you?
I'm doing all right. On Saturday, time took a heel turn. The daylight savings, we lost an hour. I'm still recovering. I don't know about you. And then staying up late for me as an old man to watch the Oscars last night, which it ended at 10:30. But when you're getting up at like 5 something in the morning, it's not ideal. But there's no better place I would rather be than here right now with all of you. And we'll do a couple quick shout outs to those folks in the chat room. We got Antonio Santos. Happy Monday. Joseph Wade Walters, morning, my dude. You'll have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel, which is a hell of a Simpsons reference. And Mike Malaro, happy Monday, Robert and Dom. Mike, always good to have you in the chat. We've got a huge lineup. The Monday show is always a big show, just to spite ad-free shows YouTube page, because they're always airing that damn Jeff Jarrett.
Dang, Jeff Jarrett.
This Jarrett guy stealing our live feed. But we're all over the place. We're happy you're joining us. Dom, what do we got for the people today?
Yeah, we got quite the lineup today. Obviously, we're going to preview Monday Night Raw here. We'll talk a little bit of the Academy Awards because it was very wrestling-oriented in certain ways. We're going to cover SmackDown here. But I'm going to start off with the breaking news of the morning is that Muhammad Ali getting inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. I am so excited for this. Grew up a fan of his, everything like that. Robert, this is a big induction, right?
It's a big induction. It's a big name for them to put out there. Obviously, the late, great Muhammad Ali, part of WrestleMania 1. It's the 40th anniversary of WrestleMania, so they're putting the focus. You had US Express going in, who competed at the first Mania. Obviously, Ali, who... It seems like such a glaring omission that he hadn't been in there.
Yeah.
I mean, they just released a Muhammad Ali action figure. I know he's part of the 2K24 video game and indelibly linked to the history of professional wrestling. In some ways, his boxing career was hurt, dampened, and in some ways ended because of the Antonio Inoki fight. You know, he had that mixed shoot fight, but not really a shoot fight, but all the kicks he took to his shins actually did significant damage. And the interesting sub fact of that is a young Vince McMahon got his foothold in the industry by helping to promote that match on pay-per-view. That was his foray in closed circuit at the time, but that was a way that Vince was able to broaden his stranglehold that he had on wrestling for a while. Ali, a huge pick. Did they announce who's speaking on behalf of him?
Yes, his wife, Lonnie Ali, is going to be inducting him. So, an appropriate choice. It's just so fascinating the ties that Muhammad Ali has to pro wrestling because, you know, his promo ability or got inspired from it by Gorgeous George, and then going into that, like it's so many people were influenced in wrestling by Muhammad Ali's own promo style, like Dusty Rhodes and superstar Billy Graham, you name it. There was a lot of things. So it's like the give back and forth to all that is so cool. I think of an aspect. Plus you have that WrestleMania tie-in and everything like that. I have that action figure you're speaking of too, with Muhammad Ali, and I don't collect a lot of figures anymore. So that was one I made an effort to go and get. So yeah, it's a super exciting one. And man, no pun intended, but it's going to pack a punch, I think, for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, you fully intended that pun. Own it. Own it, Dom.
I'm owning it.
Here's the thing that strikes me as odd. Whenever I saw these inductions, and especially the celebrity wing, the name that's not there that to me is a massive missing spot is Cyndi Lauper.
Yes. Yes.
You know, again, she's still alive. She's in those I know she's just commercials for the condition that she has. I think it's a skin condition. I can't think of exactly what it is. But she was as big a part of WrestleMania 1 being a success as almost anybody else. At the time, she was not quite Taylor Swift level of ubiquitous star, but I would put her up there with think of the height of Katy Perry or something like that in her time. So Cyndi Lauper blessing the WWE, being involved in a number of different angles beyond just that WrestleMania moment, helping forge that rock and wrestling connection was huge. You know, Ali as part of Mania was obviously the referee, but because they didn't trust him to fully understand what to do, they made him the outside enforcer referee, and Pat Patterson was the inside ref. But it's great. It is going to be a little strange, though, because I know we keep hearing that this is going to be the year they induct Bray Wyatt.
Right.
And that means that there's going to be two inductees who have passed through posthumous inductions. So something Vince used to try to steer away from a little bit, but WWE obviously going to be okay with doing that here. And it's a good get for the credibility of the Hall.
Right. Yeah. I think too, almost you could put Ali in I guess if you're factoring in Tyson, but like he doesn't necessarily even have to be in the celebrity wing. I'd like put him in the actual wing of it. And then you could get Cyndi Lauper from a hypothetical standpoint.
I don't know. I think he has to go in the celebrity ring. It's not like he worked one match realistically. I know he had a couple of others. I know he wrestled Gorilla Monsoon or had like a wrestling, boxing, whatever. But for all intents and purposes, he is a celebrity who stepped into wrestling more so than I would say when Logan Paul eventually goes into the Hall of Fame. I think he would go into the Hall of Fame as a performer, as a superstar, more than someone who is in the celebrity wing. But I know people say, well, the WWE Hall of Fame's not real. None of these Hall of Fames are necessarily real. All due respect to Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. I know there's the brick and mortar one that you're going to this year, aren't you, Dom?
Yeah, Waterloo. I'm going to make an effort to go to the George Trejos Luthez Hall of Fame in Waterloo, Iowa. Arn Anderson's getting inducted. Greg Gagne's getting inducted. Tony Schiavone, I believe, is the other name too, getting inducted. So it should be it's a neat Hall of Fame from what I hear. But
that damn Schiavone. Schiavone to this whenever we converse, he calls me Gator.
Gator,
I'm a Gator, and he is a deplorable Georgia Bulldog fan. Oh. So there's always that little rivalry between him and I. But back to the Hall. It seems like Hunter, and I know in some regards The Rock, who has had a lot of influence on this, is really trying to craft a Hall of Fame of people that are unimpeachable.
Yeah,
we've seen inductees in the past who are in for potentially political reasons or popping a rating, and all due respect to Tori Wilson and Stacey Keibler, whom I worked with and thought were great. When you see them go in before certain other names, it does make you feel a little like, all right, what are we doing here? It's a show. I understand that. Ali going in Philly, where when you think of boxing, you're thinking of Rocky.
Rocky, but Joe Frazier too. Yeah.
Smoking Joe Frazier. Yes. It'll be interesting to see who they have induct him, by the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just there's a couple of names you can pull out there to do this, but that's a heavy hitter. It's going to get a lot of mainstream press, and good on the WWE for picking Muhammad Ali to go in there. I think that is going to it's a knockout. And if you want to knock out your partner in the bedroom and knock her out with your performance, that was a very important caveat I needed to put there. Yes, if you want to knock out your partner with your incredible performance, may we recommend our friends at Blue Chew. Yes, guys, this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Remember the days when you're always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that little extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped directly to your door in a discreet package, Dom. When it's time for you to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee, Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo. Guys, I know the Blue Chew reads becoming a favorite for a lot of you out there. So even with that daylight savings, that hour off, it's another reason to use the Blue Chew. It's going to help mask that hour. It's going to get you back up to being in the fall back time frame, not this spring forward nonsense. But Dom, let's spring forward to the next topic.
Yes. Hey, we got SmackDown. We're going over here. Obviously, all the stuff that happened over the weekend when it comes to like the Hall of Fame inductions and stuff like that. But heck, we had it make a WrestleMania official. It's Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins taking on Roman Reigns and The Rock as expected. And it was a pretty interesting segment because Cody got some retribution back and gave Rock a slap himself. What'd you think of all that execution with that segment there, Robert?
So for those of you tuning in, regular watchers or listeners of Rumor and Innuendo, we talked about this before, structuring where you put The Rock on a show when it's on Fox and it's SmackDown. Because, Dom, what did I say the big problem was when you put Dwayne out there?
That time.
And what got away from him at the end of that segment was time. There is no overrun on Fox. On USA, they can push the show after Raw, you know, Walker, Texas Ranger, or Silk Stockings, or La Femme Nikita. They can make that go 5-7 minutes later. When it's Fox, they end their broadcast time at 10 o'clock. They switch it over to the local affiliates that generally have news. They're not going to get bumped for a SmackDown overrun. When it's 10 o'clock Eastern, you're off the air. So I can almost hear the producers screaming in their ears, get to the finish, get to the finish. What struck me as odd is you had security surrounding the ring. Mm-hmm. And I thought for sure they were going to swarm and do a pull apart, a Tyson and Austin situation. And we never got there.
Yeah.
It just ended with them like staring at one another. Rock's line about Cody being a mistake, I thought was really well done. I thought that was a clever little moment right there. Rollins really shone. This may have been Seth Rollins' best promo in a very long time. And I have been critical of him as a babyface, but the whole, this is our time, not yours, and this is your midlife crisis.
Yeah.
I liked it. What did you think of the segment, Dom?
Yeah, I liked it too. Great points about all that stuff. Like, you know, having the security, you had that expectation that something bigger was going to happen than just the slap. But yeah, I did like it overall. I think Cody made his point made matter-of-factly and stuff like that. And then, yeah, The Rock kind of teasing into it. And then that diarrhea chant got over for some reason. I couldn't believe
it. Yeah, I got a problem with any of you that were in that arena chanting that. You are right. Enablers. You are making this happen, and I don't like you.
No, it's very upsetting, guys. But yeah, to your point, though, Seth was really good. I love the middle age crisis line. I thought that was good and almost like a rebound from that diarrhea Dwayne.
So, I liked it. It went a little long because they started at 9:37 with the entrances. There is a palpability when they come out for those entrances. I love the lightning being added to The Rock's presentation. I thought that looked good. But it was a lot of entrances, a lot of stalling, very little meat. But you still have several weeks to go. And I think part of what makes Raw interesting tonight is you're going to get to see the falling action from what would happen on Friday night, to steal some literary terms here, because it's going to be Cody and Seth. We already know where they're going with that. And it's also going to be Drew responding, because Drew is over on the corner saying, like, hey, I'm here too. My match is important. I'm important. I know we're going to get to Raw in a little bit, but I did want to point that out here. I also want to point this out. Just I want to vent for a second, Dom, if that's cool. Amanda Huber, the late wife of Brody Lee, had tweeted out something about, isn't it ironic that the Rock is talking about accidents when his kids are about 20 years apart? Obviously, she's in on the joke. She gets what it is. She's stirring it up. And some people chose to send some really ugly, nasty vitriol to her, including making jokes about the fact that Brody Lee had passed away. He was a friend of mine. We go back a long ways. If you're thinking of doing something like that, what I want you to do is I want you to take your phone. I want you to open it up. I want you to go, like, you're going to go DM her, then step into traffic. Step into traffic while holding your phone. And if you survive like 5 minutes of standing in traffic, then you can go ahead and tweet or something. Otherwise, I hope you get flattened by an 18-wheeler, metaphorically. We would never actually encourage anybody to go and do that. But hypothetically, theoretically, if you were going to go after the widow of a beloved wrestler simply because she is having fun and engaging in wrestling, you are an incredibly low form of humanity. And I despise you. Truly, not like a heel, which fun heel moment on SmackDown, pivoting it back. Logan Paul.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Logan Paul for a second?
Yeah, absolutely.
This Prime Energy sponsorship is why the current version of WWE is so incredible. I hate a logo in the center of the ring. I just want to get that out of the way. I'm a purist. I don't like it. I never liked it when WCW would do like the Slim Jim logo. I never like it when AEW does it. Like Gunther, like the ring is sacred. But the fact that they turned it into a storyline and Orton hitting the RKO on KSI and laying in position in the middle of the ring, and then this gets picked up by mainstream media, like CNN was reporting about it, CNBC. It's sponsorship integration at its finest. And when I worked for the Florida Panthers, part of our responsibility was coming up with ideas to seamlessly weave in a partner. This has already paid for itself for whatever Logan Paul is paying for the ring. I absolutely love it, Dom. What did you think of that moment? What do you think of logos in the ring?
I like the moment too. It just further adds to the build of Orton taking on Logan Paul. But in addition to that, I love the sponsorship like aspect of it all. I get the ring has this sacredness to it and this kind of the identity to it. But also, I don't mind it being in the corners. Center is a little distracting. I'll say that. Center is a little distracting. But if you have it in the corners, like the four corners or something like that, I think it's super cool because it makes it feel more legitimate. You look at, boxing, you look at UFC or whatever, and that there's sponsorships all over the place. It further adds to the mainstream element of wrestling. And if you have something like that, it only makes sense to do something like that with Prime and Logan Paul and where all that energy drink is. So it's, I love it. I think this is a cool new part of the new aspect of WWE going forward.
I like it. My concern is when you put those logos in a ring, they're slightly elevated. They're slightly slipperier. Is that the right word? So there's going to be a possibility where there's going to be some botches that you may see as wrestlers, they're slick with sweat. They're on there with their ring boots. I'm hoping we don't see that, but there is a possibility that we're going to see some potential slippage. You see this in the NFL whenever they have the fresh paint down for different logos. So hopefully they're going to be able to calibrate and adjust for that when you see them in the ring. But Dom, we saw a couple of major superstars outside the ring last night.
We sure did. It was the Academy Awards. There we go.
That's a seamless one. Much like I hope the logo on the ground is going to be seamless, that transition. Seamless.
Yes. So we had The Rock and Bad Bunny at the Academy Awards, but we also saw John Cena. We saw him, sure enough, as he came out buck naked on stage. Pretty neat. And that got a lot of buzz too, Robert. I mean, he mentioned they didn't shy away from wrestling either because they talked about his jorts. So, I mean, it was all there. So, Robert, what'd you think of that?
First of all, it's always cool to see WWE people in anything mainstream. As a longtime wrestling fan, we know, like, wrestling was, we were maligned. We were kind of pushed off to the side. Yeah. And you had The Rock, you had Bad Bunny, you had John Cena, you had that moment where they all shook hands in the hallway. Yep. It felt like, you know, hey, we're arrived. We're there. There's a credibility to it. The Rock walked the red carpet. He looked like a star. They talked about how busy his schedule is going to be. Quick plug, shout out. Vanessa Hudgens met with The Rock on there. She's pregnant. Congratulations to her and her husband, Cole Tucker. Cole, huge wrestling fan. Good guy. Little mazel tov, little congratulations to them. But yeah, Cena, so funny in that moment. The making fun of the streaker. I saw some people online complaining, like, there's some like alt-right men forward nonsense that are like, this is taking his power. I'm like, you guys are idiots. This was funny. Alpha male stuff. Yeah, it's alpha male nonsense. This was funny. It was a chance to spotlight Cena's humor. Honestly, have you seen Ricky Stenicki?
No, I heard good things though.
So he's very good. He's very funny in that. The movie is awful. The movie is, you can predict, like, it is, you can predict everything that's going to happen moment by moment. There's not a lot of humor in that movie otherwise, but Cena is someone who's just so watchable and has such charisma when he's on screen. It's fun to see. And we saw that at the Oscars. I think that little moment that he had, if you're watching that, you're going, boy, you know, this guy really has an energy and electricity about him. And he will continue to be a bigger star who subverts the way he looks, kind of like a John Hamm. Like, John Cena does not look like the goofy comedy guy. He's very much the goofy comedy guy when they need him to be. And on a stage like that at the Oscars, it was cool to see.
Very cool to see. It's really neat to see the elevation of wrestlers as actors too at this juncture. Like, we talk about The Rock all the time as an actor. Then Batista rose to fame like so big, like to become a big movie star. And John Cena seems to be on that trajectory. So it's pretty. That's in itself is pretty cool. So
there's a versatility to it, and I love that these guys, both Cena and The Rock, go to Hollywood. They are big stars, but they don't forget where they came from.
Yeah.
You know, they come back and they respect it. It's not like a begrudging, like, all right, I have to go back and kiss the ring. It's, we want to be in front of the WWE fans. We know who makes us successful, and we genuinely enjoy it. And it must have been a cool moment for Bad Bunny. So
100%, yeah,
love it all around.
Pretty darn neat. What might be pretty darn neat tonight is the Gauntlet match on Raw, and what we have expected for that. So we got Chad Gable. He made a compelling promo online, posted that on social media, which is really good. And then we also have Liv Morgan taking on Becky Lynch. Are the only slated matches, I believe, for this tonight. Robert, what do you expect for a Monday here coming up?
Boy, there are two possible situations that we're going to get for this Gauntlet match. The predictable finish, the one that I think everybody is kind of expecting, is Sami Zayn, Gunther, is the match that they've teased. Gable as the emotional underdog makes a lot of sense. Maybe it is Gable getting, maybe, let's say, here's fantasy booking for you. I hate fantasy booking. Gable beats Nakamura. Then after the match, Nakamura takes out Gable, and that's why Gable is beaten. So now Gable has someone else to go after for his vendetta, because Nakamura's character has been very vendetta driven and they need something to do. I don't think Gable's the guy they want to beat Gunther, because if that was the case, we would have seen that in the previous matches they had. The other situation, Dom, not to jump further down the run sheet here.
That's fine.
Someone emerged on the roster page over the weekend who could be targeted for this slot.
That's right. It's Brock Lesnar, guys. He's back on the roster page, and that is something that we could expect to happen. I mean, that's what was originally reported to have the match laid out, was that was going to be Gunther's opponent. So, yeah, interesting note that he's just back on the roster page. I think they think that maybe they weathered the storm of when it comes to what that kind of, you know, scandal and everything like that, what his involvement to it allegedly. So, yeah, it's an interesting aspect to note for sure, Robert.
It's I think what happened was, I mean, again, I'm speculating here. Rumor, this is all rumor and innuendo. Most likely, WWE 2K24 came out last week, and Brock Lesnar not part of it. He's not a playable character. I think the response from that was people were more upset that Brock was excluded rather than necessarily outrage about the allegations against Brock. And I think there's an important distinction to make. Number one, Brock did not engage in the truly horrific allegations that are against Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis, specifically as it related to non-consensual actions. Brock was tangential at best in a lot of these, that he was exchanging messages with Vince. I don't know necessarily that those rose to a level of warranting removing him. I know there's confusion as to whether Brock was actually, you know, removed from the roster page. He was taken down, but was he suspended? Was he not suspended? Nobody really knows. But the fact that his roster spot has been restored at the very least means when Paul Heyman does his induction speech, we don't have to ignore 11 years of his career. Yeah. So I think that's definitely helpful. And I think that they test the waters a little bit. They dip the toe in and see, was there a massive outcry of people saying, what do you mean you put Brock's picture back on there? He's a monster. Here are our, you know, pitchforks and torches. That was not the case. People were like, awesome, we kind of want to see Brock back. So it does gauge the morality of the audience and what they are comfortable with seeing. So it'll be interesting to see if Brock is factored in tonight or at all. There may be subtle little, they put him in a video package and then everyone's like, oh, nope, there's the next little Easter egg. Yeah. Wrestling's weird. 2020.
So weird. So weird, Robert. Jeez, dipping your toes in. They got to figure it out. They'll figure it out one way or another, huh?
But it looks like Brock's old tag partner may find a new home.
Yes, that's correct. Shelton Benjamin is rumored to maybe be in talks. Well, not rumored, reported to be in talks with AEW, potentially about showing up there in as an appearance. Fightful reports, while initially there was no contact between Shelton and the All Elite Wrestling upon his free agency, recent conversations between the two parties have taken place. These discussions revolved around the possibility of Shelton Benjamin making an appearance for the company. What do you think of adding him into the mix as an on-air talent? I mean, obviously he's got the pro wrestling acumen and everything like that, but being part of All Elite, and how would you position him if they were requiring there, Robert?
So there's a comment here from David Mage who says, Shelton Benjamin is an OG. Shelton Benjamin is an insane talent. He is someone who, it always baffled me that WWE did not necessarily do more with him when they had the chance. Fun fact, the spec script that I wrote that got me hired by WWE involved Shelton Benjamin.
Oh.
So I obviously have a soft spot for Shelton. I think that in ring, he is still probably one of the top 10 best going out there. Even at his slightly advanced age, I think having someone in AEW who knows how to structure those sorts of matches, who can keep up with the athleticism of the younger talent, being able to jump off the top rope, the different, you know, agility things that he can do, but also be able to tell a story. I'm all for utilizing Shelton rather than utilizing some of the talent AEW does, where they bring somebody in for a week. A lot, we've seen this a lot with some of the Lucha guys. There's no connection to them and then they vanish. I don't mind Shelton being a part of the roster. I think he's someone that you can use for a Rampage, a Collision, maybe even occasionally a Dynamite, and he will make your roster better. So all in favor of that.
Here's the aspect, too, that comes into play with Shelton, is he's such a great wrestler and knows the ground game, obviously, to all that stuff. So him having a match on there breaks up what you typically see on AEW when it comes to the high-flying spots and the craziness, and Shelton's capable of doing that. But he gets a little bit more of that special match moment, I think, in there, too, if you bring him into the mix. So
I wish he was still in WWE, honestly. I think him and Cedric together would have been great. I liked the Hurt Business press. I like them with Lashley and MVP. I thought that worked beautifully. It never made sense why they cut the water off that so quickly, but here we are.
Yep. Robert, let's close it out with this. CM Punk is announced for March 25th episode of Raw, which happens to be in the Windy City, Chicago. How would you utilize him? It's the Raw right before the go-home Raw of WrestleMania. So how would you implement him into the equation there for Chicago?
Have they said how they're going to be using him?
Not at all. Nope.
Man, maybe you have him out there on guest commentary. Maybe he's good enough that he can take a bump from Drew and set up another reason for Seth to want to get revenge on McIntyre. Maybe it's for Punk to announce that he's going to be inducting Heyman into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities that go with that. That's not bad either. So
at the very least, he's going to sell a lot of t-shirts. He's going to put a lot of butts in seats. But you know what puts butts in seats, guys? Dominic D'Angelo. And this guy has two other podcasts that you can go check out. Dom, where can the good people find you?
Sure, yeah. You guys can find me today at rvdtv.com. Monday, 4:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is when a new episode of One of a Kind with RVD drops. And yes, we talk about Paul Heyman getting the Hall of Fame induction, who should induct him, and a lot more, some New Jack stories and some stuff like that. So it's a good episode. Dino Bravo we talk about too, so pretty interesting. As far as my other show, it's Straight Talk with the Boss, Magnum TA and Greg Gagne. This episode drops this week on Tuesday, and GagneMagnum.com. Check it out. We cover the Remco figure lines coming up here and some great stories there. Robert, your little other show, Wrestle Roast, pretty good stuff too. You guys just talked about, you guys broke a lot down. I listened to the whole show.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Yeah, this past week on Wrestle Roast, we talked about the dark side of the ring for Earthquake, as well as AEW Dynamite, some of the Hall of Fame inductions that have been announced. It was the full boat. All four of us, Mike Lawrence, Scott Chaplin, Dan St. Germain, and myself, they are three very funny comedians. I am just sort of the ringleader trying to wrangle them to pay attention like a bad substitute teacher. But you know what's a good time? Tuning in here every day at noon Eastern for Rumor and Innuendo. We are available on all the different X platforms. Podcast Heat, who makes this show possible, the WWE Creative _ISH X account, SE Scoops, the Dominic D'Angelo Twitter account, and then the Rumor and Innuendo YouTube page. And then tomorrow and for the rest of the week, Jarrett notwithstanding, we will be on YouTube on ad-free shows. Lots of great places to catch us live. But if you miss us live and you want to listen to us in audio podcast form, maybe you're like Dom, who when he goes to the gym with his sleeveless shirts and he's all yoked and he wants to listen to a podcast, we are all over the audio podcast world, Spotify, iTunes, wherever else you get your podcast needs. And when you go and do so, appreciate you giving us a 5-star review, putting a little comment in there, helps the algorithm, helps the show grow. We've seen the numbers skyrocket, Dom. It's been fantastic. It's only, you know, up and to the right as we get closer to WrestleMania. Anything else before we send these fine folks on to their day?
No, enjoy Raw, guys. It's going to be a fun one, I think. The road to WrestleMania is very much getting paved, so that's it.
On behalf of the very fun Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpeles. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Muhammad Ali, baby.